Reading again then from the book of Proverbs today, as we have been doing for the last number of Lord's Day mornings. Reading on this occasion from Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, down as far as verse 19. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning the reading at verse 6. Let's again hear what the Word of God is saying. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. A scoundrel and villain, who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore disaster will overtake him in an instant. He'll be suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Drawing your attention especially today to the very last phrase there which we read, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And brothers there, of course, could be applicable to brothers in the family, but especially it was thinking of brothers in the covenant community. Brothers, if you like, in New Testament terms, in the Church of Jesus Christ. A man or a person who stirs up dissension among brothers. We have been thinking of different kinds of folly or sinful foolishness from the book of Proverbs over these last number of weeks. The folly of the sluggard who should go to the ant and look to the ant and be wise. The folly of the liar who tells lies that are detestable in the sight of a holy God. The folly of the gossip who betrays secrets and causes disturbance in the community. And here now today, another form of folly, another form of sinful foolishness, the folly of the one who sows, who stirs up dissension or causes strife, or as the older translation has it, the sower of discord, one who goes about sowing seeds of discord among the brethren. Three things in relation to this. First of all, the awfulness of stirring up dissension among brothers. That is an awful thing. It's no small thing. It's a serious matter. It's listed here, isn't it? Among the seven things that the Lord hates. Look at Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. And there you see how it is included in this ugly catalogue of sins. And some of the sins mentioned there, right away we would react and say, yes, these are awful sins. For example, hands that shed innocent blood. Right away, you and I would agree, that's an awful thing to do, to have hands that would shed the blood of the innocent. Or indeed, it would occur to us right away, I would say, that a false witness who pours out lies, that's an awful thing. That's something that's detestable. To stand up and give a false report in a court of law or in some such public situation against someone, destroying their reputation, maybe condemning them even to judgment and to execution. A false witness who pours out lies. But alongside these and several others, at the very end of the list, and indeed the commentators would say as a culmination, as the one that is maybe emphasized most of all, is this one that's detestable to the Lord, an abomination to him, a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. That's awful. The Lord hates it. It's abominable to him. Indeed, there is an earlier statement concerning such a person in this passage. Did you notice it? Did you notice the earlier reference? Turn back a few verses just. Proverbs chapter 6. And look a few verses earlier at verse 14. And going back as far as verse 12. In verse 14 it is said of this person that he always stirs up dissension. Always doing it. Not just an occasional thing, but he's active constantly stirring up dissension. This mischief maker. What is he called in verse 12? Very strong language. A scoundrel and villain. That word the NIV here translates as scoundrel is literally a Hebrew term, a son of Belial. A son of Belial. One of the strongest phrases you could use to denounce someone as being wicked. A son of Belial. For example, that term is also used to refer to the sons of Eli. Sons of the high priest Eli. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 12. And those verses. And they were very corrupt. Even though they were the sons of the high priest, they were guilty of terrible corruption in the administration of the tabernacle. And they're described as sons of Belial. Or the term is also applied to those false witnesses who brought in a false witness against Naboth. They were used by Jezebel and Ahab to have that innocent man condemned because the king wanted to get his hands on his vineyard. And so these false witnesses were found, and they were sons of Belial. They were scoundrels. That's how strong this terminology is, the scoundrel. The word villain, which accompanies it, isn't very pleasant either. It is most often translated simply as wicked. As wicked. The same term is actually used in verse 18 of a heart that devises wicked schemes. So how are we to think of the person who goes about stirring up trouble and strife and discord and dissension among the brothers? Well, the Lord detests such a person, and the Lord calls such a person a scoundrel and a villain. Have no doubt whatsoever, therefore, that to stir up dissension among the brothers is an awful thing to do. And let us therefore all the more be on our guard against it. Be on your guard against committing such an awful sin as to be stirring up dissension among your brethren. Then secondly, look more closely at the subject. The agents of stirring up dissension. The agents of stirring up dissension. What kind of people in particular? What are their characteristics and what are their marks according to the book of Proverbs and other passages in God's word? Proverbs 17 verse 19 tells us, he who loves a quarrel loves sin. So it's certainly described as sinful. If you love a quarrel, if you're the lover of a quarrel, you love sin. Or Proverbs 10 and verse 12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, But love covers over all wrongs. So a lack of love, an absence of love, might lead you and might lead me to stir up dissension. But let's look at five particular things that are associated with stirring up dissension, so we may be on our guard against them. Here's the first kind of agent or person who might well bring about dissension in the church among brothers. The book of Proverbs tells us the hot-tempered. The hot-tempered might well bring this about. In Proverbs 15 and verse 18 we read, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. There are times, of course, when disagreements and disputes will arise and debates. And there's a place for debate within the church. But imagine if there's a debate or some form of difference of opinion and there's a hot-tempered person there in the room. How might they react? Fly off the handle. Get very angry. Start calling the other people who don't share their viewpoint names. Be rude. And cause a division within the brethren. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. No surprise, therefore, to find that when we come to the New Testament, and you'll be aware of this, I'm sure, when you're looking for an elder or an overseer in the church, one of the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, verse 3 is not quarrelsome, but temperate. And that term temperate can apply to many different things, but temperate and self-controlled in relation to their temper. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 says, and the Lord's servant, referring to the leaders in the church, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Are you prone to a hot temper? Some of us temperamentally can be like that, and we need to ask special help from God. Special help, special grace to help us to control our temper, especially in situations where there may be some disagreement or some difference of opinion within the church or within the family or whatever circle we find ourselves in. Satan can use a hot temper to cause division and stir up dissension. Here's one agent that can cause dissension. Hot temper or anger. The second one is something we mentioned, was mentioned last Lord's Day. Here's another source or agent that can cause dissension. Proverbs 16 verse 28 tells us, a perverse man stirs up dissension. There's that term again. But look what's parallel to it, significant that it's in a parallel to it. And a gossip separates close friends. The term close friends could be closely equivalent to brothers. You could say a gossip can separate brothers. A gossip can separate close friends. A gossip can stir up dissension by carrying tales around from one to the other, misrepresenting one to the other. A lot of divisions and a lot of quarrels are caused by misunderstandings. By misunderstandings. You don't hear the right account. And a gossip, someone who's prone to gossip, and likes gossip, is very likely to spread all kinds of stories that actually misrepresent the person, misrepresent the issue, misrepresent the situation, and can bring about dissension and the separation of close friends. A second agent for stirring up dissension can be the gossip. Another warning to us today from God's word to refrain from either speaking or listening to gossip. Here's a third agent that can sow dissension among brothers. The proud person. The proud person. Someone who is filled up with pride can be very prone to promoting dissension. Proverbs 13 verse 10. Again, the book of Proverbs tells us this. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Contrast there between the person who recognizes they're not the source of all wisdom, they're not the font of all wisdom, need to take advice from others. Whereas a proud person thinks he knows it all. He or she knows it all. I know it all. I need no advice. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. Can you imagine the church situation where there's some point being debated and the proud person insists, I know I'm right. I don't need to listen to the other person's viewpoint. I know. I know for sure. Book of Proverbs tells us here, pride only breeds quarrels. Multiplies them. Gives rise to them. Spreads quarrels. There's a parallel verse, though the translation is disputed, in Proverbs 28, verse 25. Proverbs 28:25. The NIV, the International Version, translates it as follows. A greedy man stirs up dissension. However, the better translation and the more consistent translation, which is given in the Authorized Version and agreed with by the New American Standard Version, translates that this as, he that is proud of heart. The Hebrew literally has broad of soul. That's the Hebrew term. So the NIV takes that as referring to somebody who's greedy, wanting to fill himself with more maybe of everything. However, it could also mean someone who's swollen up. He's broad and widened with a sense of his own importance. And that seems the more likely translation. He that is proud of heart stirs up dissension. That's why, dear friends, you and I need to keep on cultivating the attitude of humility. For if pride gets a grip on us, it's going to cause dissension and dispute and division within the body of Christ. A proud person tends, for example, never to be willing to say, I got it wrong. Find some way of wriggling out of that. Be very, very slow to admit, well, I was actually wrong about that. I was mistaken. You were right. The proud person will keep on insisting no matter what. Oh, they misunderstand. They don't understand. I'm the one who's right, even though everyone else has a different view. I must be the one who's in the right. And that can cause all kinds of difficulties. The proud. Fourthly, another agent, another attitude in the church that can cause and bring about disunity and dissension. Selfish ambition. The selfishly ambitious. Not at this point reading from Proverbs, but going as far as Romans here. Chapter 16, 17-18. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those, and we're to watch out, for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way, or contrary to the teaching you've learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. They're serving themselves. They're focused on themselves. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. The book of James warns us against selfish ambition. Because it says that it causes and gives rise to disorder and every evil practice. How could this happen? There's a classic example of dissension and division being caused in the godly community. In the Old Testament, are you familiar with, you're probably familiar with, the rebellion of Korah? It's recorded in Numbers 16, verses 1 to 7. Look it up later if you're not that familiar with it. Numbers 16 and verses 1 to 7. And there, the appointed leaders of the covenant community of God's people, Moses and Aaron, had to confront a rebellion, were confronted by a rebellion, an uprising, an insurrection, and was led by this man, Korah, though he had associates as well. And what was at the root and at the heart of Korah's rebellion? Why did he start stirring up dissension in the community against Moses and Aaron? Why was it? Well, if you read those verses, you'll see that Korah was a Levite, but he wanted to be a priest. To be a Levite was a great calling, a great privilege, to be an assistant to the priesthood. But it appears from the account that Korah and others wanted more than that. They wanted a higher, what they saw as a higher office. They didn't want the priesthood confined to only a certain number of people. They wanted to be open to all.
There was selfish ambition at work in Korah's heart, and he stirred up a rebellion, an insurrection, caused dissension against the appointed leaders of God's people. And selfish ambition can do this. If you're in the church and Satan manages to get you thinking about, I've got to promote myself, I want to promote myself, I want to be prominent at all costs, it'll cause trouble. It'll cause dissension. Be on your guard against selfish ambition. It is an agent, a cause of dissension in the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, that's four. And there are many more, but I want to mention one more. And it's probably related to pride and selfish ambition and many other attitudes as well. But another person who can cause dissension is the argumentative person. The argumentative person. The person who, if you say yes, will probably be inclined to say no in response. Or if you say no, they may well be inclined to say yes in response. They'll take the contrary view. Or they'll get absorbed in all kinds of trivial issues that don't really matter. And as Christians, dear friends, this can happen to any of us. As Christians, we can get absorbed by and totally caught up by and take out of proportion things that are not essential, that are not of the greatest importance. Maybe I've told you before the story, which is not too flattering to myself. When I was at theological college, I was getting worked up, very worked up, in one of the classes over a certain issue. And the professor of New Testament, Professor Donnelly, said to me with loving sarcasm, Raymond, you're really concerned about the really important matters. You're fighting over the really important matters. Something along those lines. It was sarcastic, because I was getting absorbed in something that really wasn't that vital within the church. And we can all be like that. There can be some issue or other that becomes our hobby horse, something that's not that crucial, and we're going to argue it all the time. We're going to campaign for it all the time and cause dissension as a result. Titus 3, 9-11 tells us how in the early church there were those who were argumentative. What were they arguing about? There are things we should argue about. There are things we should take a stand for. Yes, we want peace in the church, but as somebody has said, not peace at any price. Not peace at the expense of truth. If someone were to be denying the essentials of the gospel, for example, if someone were to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and begin spreading, or is not the Son of God, if someone were to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and teach that he is not the Son of God, it'd be right, wouldn't it, to oppose them. They are denying the divine identity of our glorious Saviour. It'd be right to oppose them, to stand against them, to contend against them. Even though it may cause trouble and heartache and difficulty, we must stand up for the truths, the essential truths of the gospel. But here in Titus, what were they arguing about? What were some people arguing about and had to be warned about? But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. And for those who were guilty of such argumentativeness, here's what the response was to be. Very strong, isn't it? Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. Two warnings. They don't heed the warnings. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. An argumentative person, someone who is majoring on minors, who is making a huge thing of something that is trivial. There are people like that about on the fringes of the Christian community, and they can cause terrible trouble within a Christian fellowship. The argumentative. Five agents of dissension. There are many more as well. Those are five that are highlighted in God's word. Let us be careful. Be you careful. Be on your guard, lest you allow hot temper or gossip or pride, or selfish ambition, or argumentativeness to cause division among your brothers. Two things so far, therefore: the awfulness of stirring up dissension, the various agencies that stir up dissension, and then thirdly and finally, the alternative to stirring up dissension. What is the good alternative? What is it that you and I should be aiming for as members of the church, as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus? Well, we read it, didn't we? We read it in Ephesians 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How much effort should you be making? Not just a little effort, not just some effort, but keep on, actually the Greek says, keep on making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Here's something that God's Word exhorts us to be doing. Rather than stirring up dissension, our goal as believers should be to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. No wonder our Lord Jesus mentioned among the Beatitudes those who will enjoy the blessing of God. No wonder he mentions in Matthew 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And actually, when we think of the older translation of that sin we've been thinking about, sowing discord among the brothers, in James chapter 3, the very opposite is mentioned. Peacemakers who sow in peace produce a harvest of righteousness. Rather than sowing discord, sow seeds of peace. And you'll produce, what harvest will you produce? You'll produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. The alternative to stirring up dissension. Here's what we should focus on. Here's what should be in the forefront of our minds. That by God's grace, we will keep on making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Two questions then for you to ponder in conclusion. Here are two questions. First of all, do you appreciate how awful and ugly a thing it is to cause dissension among brothers? Do you really appreciate how awful it is? How angry the Lord is to see this going on in this church? The Lord wants unity and peace and love to prevail among his people. And therefore it is indeed an awful thing. And something that should cause us to shed tears when we hear about divisions. When you hear about a division and disunity in some congregation, how do you react? Maybe there's part of us wants to know, whoa, I want to know more about that. Our curiosity, a sinful curiosity, an idle curiosity, might be our main reaction. What should be your main reaction when you hear about the division and dissension and disunity in a congregation of God's people? It should be one of sadness, shouldn't it? Sadness that the Church of Jesus Christ has been harmed and hurt, and the reputation of the Lord has been hurt and harmed by dissension among the people of God. Appreciate afresh how awful it is to cause dissension among brothers. And here's the second question then. Are you making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit? Are you making every effort? Each one of us must make every effort. You know, it doesn't take a large number of people to stir up a division in a congregation of God's people. It can start with one or just two. Just one or two. And then, of course, others can get drawn into it and sucked into it. So it's very, very important that each one of us in this congregation or the congregation to which you belong, that each one of us keeps on making every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And indeed, not only within our congregations, but make every effort to appreciate the fellowship of other believers who share the same Christian faith as we do. And this is not an easy thing in a world full of dissension, where we're prone to sins such as pride and selfish ambition. But here's an encouragement for you this afternoon, dear friends. We have a great helper to help us. We have the Spirit of God. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the very opposite of those who would want to cause unnecessary division and dissension. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. What's another fruit of the Spirit? The first fruit of the Spirit is peace. He will enable us to love peace, to value peace, to practice peace, to seek to restore peace where it is broken down. And another one? The fruit of the Spirit is patience or long-suffering. Yes, people will annoy us. We're all sinful people. There are times when we'll annoy one another. The Spirit of God will help us to be patient, bearing with one another in love. And the Spirit of God, if we rely upon Him and ask for His help, we will be enabled to keep on making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing it is when a congregation enjoys such unity. Where there is little or no dissension. Where the people of God are living in harmony with one another, as God's Word tells us. What a great testimony that is to the world around us, when people can see that we are disciples of Jesus Christ who truly do love one another and are not fighting with one another. Hear then the Word of God to us today. Hear especially these wise words from the book of Proverbs that warns us against the folly of stirring up dissension or sowing discord among brothers. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.